So this, we're getting into the Lenten season. This is really an introduction to the Lenten season, and the series is going to be called Be Ye Transformed, and I'm calling this an introduction to Lent. It's spiritual preparation for Easter through faith, prayer, and synchronicity. Okay. Again, so we're interested in it, and it officially starts on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, and you see in your bulletins, there's going to be a all-day session at the church from 10 to 6, I think it is. 10 to what? 10 to 7, okay. Huh? At the office. And at 1 o'clock, there's going to be a brown bag lunch with Pamela, Patty, and April. And have a little discussion about prayer and meditation around the idea of Lent. So, like I said, and next Sunday will be the first official Sunday for Lent, but today we're just going to kind of look into preparing ourselves for that process. And if you look at the back of that blue flyer, it talks about during the Lenten period, refrain from all negative thoughts and discouraging words. I was reading that, it says, wow, that's like, it didn't say some, it said all, right? Stop trying to change others. Stop crucifying yourself with every fearful thought that enters your mind. Do not discuss your symptoms or troubles. Refuse to entertain critical or judgmental thoughts about anyone. Meditate, pray, and read daily. Well, that's easy enough. Say nothing but good about anybody. Be happy, let others see the signs of your enjoying life. Visualize the good that you want, then feel that you already have it, which will bring it into form. Now, we're going to talk about exactly how to do that today, okay? And use some form of affirmation every day. That should see some form of positive affirmation every day, because we do affirm other stuff, right? And practice a presence, carry it into work, your home, and especially your human relationships. Okay, so let's talk about that process. And again, the series is going to be called Be Ye Transformed, which comes from Romans 12:10. The whole verse is, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, this is a perfect title for our Lenten journey because spiritual preparation for Easter is about transformation, all right? And again, it's a difference from just, I'm going to change my mind, from allowing yourself to be completely transformed. So it's about letting go of the old and being open and receptive to the emerging of the new you. And the key to this transformation process is having the faith to know that all you have experienced, all you are experiencing, and all that you will experience is part of the process of your divine awakening. All right? So all that stuff you said, I wish I didn't have to go through that. All right, that's second force. How many people know first force, second force, third force? Wait a minute. Who does not know first force, second force, third force? Wow, okay. So everybody knows the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Mind, idea, expression. I am conscious, I am expressed. First force, second force, third force, in line with that Trinity, okay? So first force is the idea or inspiration comes into your mind. And third force is you have accomplished it. But to get from first force, when you first get the idea, to third force, when you accomplished it, I am expressed, you got to go through second force. And second force usually requires a transformation. Second force is what we curse every day. Why do I have to go through this? So every time you ask yourself, why do I have to go through this? It's because you want to get to third force. I am expressed. Is everybody with me? Okay. Boy, that should be like a common thing for Unity, for Unity Center of Light people. Yeah, we just talked about that. Came from Ed Rabel, by the way. Everybody knows who Ed Rabel is? If you haven't heard that name, he's sort of Unity's one of the leading mystics, you know, and he taught that idea. So anyway, so let me just add it again. So everything we go through, and that's really a challenging thought, isn't it? that everything we go through is designed for our divine unfolding, our divine awakening, okay? So faith is the key, though, to staying centered as you are being transformed. So as you're going through second force, like Job, everybody knows the story of Job, right? So as you're going through that second force, faith keeps you centered, right, while you're going through that process. And in trying to understand how and why faith is the key to our divine awakening, I want you to listen to how this author explains the idea of what he calls, listen, unsurpassed intimacy of tested faith. And let me say that again, the unsurpassed intimacy of tested faith. He says, every time you venture out in your life with faith, you will find something in your circumstance that, from a common sense standpoint, will flat out contradict your faith, all right? But common sense is not faith, and faith is not common sense. In fact, they are as different as the material life and the spiritual life. The question to answer to test your faith is, can I trust that God is working in my life when my common sense cannot trust him? Did everybody just hear that? Yeah. All right. Can you venture out with courage in what you learn from the teachings of Jesus when the perceptions of your common sense continue to shout, it's not going to work in this situation? It may be easy to say, oh, yes, I believe that with God all things are possible when you're standing on the mountaintop. But what about when life circumstances knock you down from the mountaintop into the valley of trial and tribulations that mock your mountaintop faith? All right? And it's written in Philippians 4:19, as soon as I say I believe that God will supply all my needs, the testing of my faith begins. When my strength runs dry and my vision is blinded, will I endure this trial of my faith victoriously, or will I turn and run in defeat? That's what the deal really is, okay? Can I hold up in the most challenging of circumstances? So these are the questions we each must answer for ourselves. And what is interesting is answering these questions is not optional. You can't opt out of it, all right? Because you will be tested. And whether you turn to faith or you turn to fear will be the most obvious and intimate experience you can ever have on the spiritual journey, okay? So it's a spiritual reality that the things of spirit must be tested in order to come alive in our, you know, come to alive in our lives. And it seems that it's during the most troubling times that we choose to become most intimately involved with spiritual things. You know, like Joel Goldsmith says, you know, when things are going great, we just willy-nilly going through life, you know. But when stuff happens, that's when we turn to call on God and try to bring up our spirituality. But, you know, that's why the author calls it the unsurpassed intimacy of tested faith, right? And then another author says faith must be tested because it can only become your intimate possession through conflict. Did you hear that? So it has to be tested because it only become your intimate possession when you've gone through conflict and you've able to maintain your faith. So ask yourself, what is challenging your faith right now? Because whatever is presently testing you will either prove your faith to be strong or it will kill it. And through our faith, thoughts, feelings, and emotions, we can build our faith, or by way of our fear-filled thoughts, feelings, and emotions, we can collapse it. That's pretty deep. So, and he goes on to say, the ultimate belief in Christian spirituality is confidence that what Jesus taught is the truth. It's recorded in Hebrews 3:14, we have become partners of Christ if we hold the beginnings of our confidence steadfast in him. If you can believe steadfastly in what Jesus taught when everything is challenging you, you will ultimately strengthen your faith. You know, it's like anything else in life. It only becomes stronger when you work at it, okay? And again, it's recorded in Hebrews 13:5-6, keep your lives free from fear. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. All right. So the question is, with these thoughts in mind, can we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, and no matter what, I will not lose my faith? And yes, we may firmly believe that prayer changes things, but prayer changes things is not as close to the truth as prayer changes me so that I can see things differently. All right? So the way this works, just stay with me for here. The way this works is that God has established what quantum physicists called the unified field, in which prayer, on the basis of redemption, changes the way a person looks at things. Now, again, if we take that to the science of quantum physics, they say that things only are the way they are because they are the way you are. So nothing is as it is, everything is as I am. So the same two people can be having the same exact experience and have two totally different reactions to it because they see it differently. Does that make sense? So that's both, you know, a spiritual idea and a physics idea. So prayer is not a matter of changing things externally, but a process that redeems the thoughts, emotions, and feelings of the one praying, so that the miracle can begin manifesting in one's life. So my prayer is, God, is not to God, can you change this? It's, God, can you change me? Okay, because my consciousness is what's creating this, and that's something we don't want to hear. All right, we don't want to hear that. So the prayer is about changing me so I can see differently and change my circumstances. All right. So as we have said before, when your mind and heart are right, meaning in alignment with God through faith, the universe will work in concert to bring about people, circumstances, and situations to bring about your highest good. This is what Dr. Carl Jung calls, and he came up with this in conversation with or discussion with Albert Einstein. He came up with the idea of synchronicity. Okay, so let me say this again. So the universe will work in concert to bring about people, situations, and circumstances to bring about your highest good. That idea is the idea of synchronicity. So faith through prayer brings about the synchronicity that will result in the answers to your prayers. So faith through prayer will bring about the synchronicity that will result in the answers to your prayers. So faith fills you with the light of God. All right? Prayer fills you with the light of God, meaning it fills you with understanding and wisdom. So prayer through and faith working together fill you with understanding and wisdom, which is what we're calling the light of God. Okay? So when you're praying, and most of the time when we're praying asking for stuff. Right? Please change this out here, or give me this job, or whatever it is, we're asking for those particular things. The thing we have to understand is that we already, anything that you ask has already been given. But it's been given in I am, it's been given in first force. All right, and we have to go through second force in order to manifest it in third force. Did that make sense? So as soon as you ask, the universe begins to pull that together. All right, but it will not manifest for you unless you can go through second force, which has your, and I'll get to that in a minute, which has all of your being focused on knowing that that is unfolding for you. Okay, because this is going to get rougher in a minute. All right, so the key is the purpose for having faith and living by faith is not to invoke the power of God in your life and affairs, because the power of God has already been invoked in your life and affairs. Jesus acknowledged this in John 11:14 when he said, "Father, I thank thee that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me." Right, so he's saying, I know God is always hearing, always giving exactly what I ask for, but just because I don't see it, I think that God's not working. But God is always working. In order to invoke this level of knowing within ourselves, we must learn how to bring our thoughts, emotions, and feelings into alignment with our faith and the power and presence of God being active in our life and affairs. And actually, faith will not work, and prayer will not work effectively if our thoughts, emotions, and feelings are not in alignment with our faith in the power and presence of God being active in our lives. If we are not congruent, all right? So in the context of this lesson, the concept of thought is the guidance system that affects and directs our emotions. Everything works from the concept of thought, all right? So it's the image and ideas created by our thoughts that determines where our emotions and our attention is directed. That's why you should always be inundating yourself with positive, fulfilling information, all right? Because as soon as you see something negative, our tendency is to go in that direction. You turn on the news, something happens, we go in that direction, okay? The key is you want to work constantly on keeping yourself focused in the direction that you really want to go in. I always keep going back to that movie with Tom Cruise, The Last Samurai. Remember when he was captured and brought into the Japanese camp, and he was just blown away by the fact that every person in that camp had one particular thing that they spent their entire day doing nothing but becoming a master at it. So of course you had the swordsmen and the you know, martial artists and the archers and people with knives and stars and all that. But you also had the woman who was a master tea brewer and tea pourer. She was a master of it, all right? And that is what she focused on every day. And so he began to understand that, you know, the other cultures, we would try to be a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and we never really master anything. So that's the key with the spiritual process, is in all the things that we do on a daily basis, in everything we do, we have the central focus is to maintain our faith, maintain our connection with spirit as we're going through that process. Is that kind of okay? So it is the image or idea created by our thoughts. It is the image or idea created by our thoughts that determines where our emotions and attention are directed. So emotions may be considered the source of power that compels us to move forward towards achieving our goals. It is through the energy of our emotions that we propel our thoughts to make them real. So by itself, however, the power of emotion may be scattered and without direction. So if you're just an emotional person, you follow me? But there's no direction to it, you're just looking crazy. Okay? So it is in the presence of directed thought that our emotions are given direction, breathing life into the image of our thoughts. Let me say it again? Okay, so listen. It is in the presence of directed thought that our emotions are given direction, breathing life into the images of our thoughts. All right? So directed thoughts. You know, you wake up in the morning and you have a clear vision of where it is you're going. You know, I always do with my students this idea of, you know, dreams. Dreams are just out there, okay? But you begin to narrow them down when you bring them into a vision. So now it's just not a dream, but it's a vision. You can visualize what it's going to look like. And then you bring it down into a mission. What is my purpose? How am I going to focus on that? And then it becomes goals, and then objectives, you know, and you come right down to task. And task of what you have to do every single day to eventually bring that dream into fruition. All right? It's, you know, you can't just say, this is what I want to do one day, without starting that when? Now. Okay? So that's sort of the idea. And then feelings exist in the presence of thoughts and emotions as it represents the union of the two. So when we feel, we are experiencing the desires of our emotions merge with the imagination of our thoughts. Feeling is the key to prayer because it is the vibration of our feelings to which the divine creation process responds. And let me say that again because that's important. Feelings is the key to prayer because it is the vibration of our feelings to which divine creation responds. Okay? So to have a feeling, by definition, we must have both an underlying thought and emotion. The challenge to developing our highest level of personal mastery is to be able to recognize what thought and emotions are expressing as our feelings. So when you're feeling something, you got to get back to the root of that feeling. What is causing this? Okay? And it's important to understand that faith will not work and prayer will not work if our thoughts, emotions, and feelings are not in alignment. Think about it. If you pray, God, help me in this situation, but your thought is, this situation is too difficult and no one can help me. You get what's going on? All right, because your feelings are going to be attached to that idea. The thought is, I want God to help me, but your feeling is attached to the idea of, oh, this ain't happening. Okay? And then it is likely, you know, that you know, if your power of imagination will cause your emotions and your feelings to turn in opposition to what you are praying for. All right? So that's why you have to bring that whole process into line. However, if you turn your efforts to filling your mind, your heart, and your body with God light until you become so full that there is no room in you for anything else, then your thoughts, emotions, and feelings cannot be anything other than in alignment with Spirit. So it's not a matter of sitting there going, okay, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? What are my emotions? You don't have to think about all that. Just think about what it is that you want and then turn all your attention to just filling yourself with God light. And when I say that, I mean literally you're imagining that you are full of God light. You have to start at the top of your head, and you have to let that move all the way down your body. And what you'll find is somewhere around your throat, you'll be wondering where the chicken is you're going to eat for dinner. And you know, you go off some crazy thought. Then you got to bring yourself back, right, and catch the light again, and you get down somewhere around here, and then you got to, and all of a sudden you're off somewhere else. Who knows what I'm talking about? All right? And so you have to keep disciplining yourself until you can get that light full, I mean, out through your arms, your fingers, you know, everywhere until it gets all the way, and your whole body is full of that light, okay? And your prayer will change from a prayer of supplication to a prayer of inner knowing and thanksgiving, from a prayer of fear to a prayer of faith. And this will be your experience, again, when your heart, mind, body, and soul are filled with the divine light that God is. You know, for years, and this is something I've said several times over the years, you know, we've taught our children how to be filled with fear instead of being filled with God light, okay? And again, many of you have heard this, but some of you hadn't. Listen to this prayer that we taught our children. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's just filling that child with fear. That's why they have boogeymen under the bed and calling you in the middle of the night for monsters coming out of the closet, all right? Now, compare it with the unity thought. Now I lay me down to sleep. Say it with me. I know the Lord my soul will keep, and I shall wake to see the light. Because God is with me through the night. All right? Yeah. And that's a prayer a lot of us need to be saying when we go to bed at night. So the work of filling your body with God light is the first spiritual practice. The second spiritual practice is in sending that divine light out ahead of you to make easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous your way. And yes, much of the spiritual process is a mind game. This is a mind game, all right? Meaning you must practice a process in your imagination. Now, I want to share a story that I haven't shared in years, and some of you have heard this story. But when I was doing a lot of long-distance running, this is many, many years ago, I usually run again early in the morning, and it would be very dark. And we were living in Fort Washington, and Old Fort Road in Fort Washington is no sidewalks or nothing, right? And, I mean, it's not even hardly an edge to run on. So what I would do is I would practice the first and the second spiritual idea. What I would do is envision in my mind, heart, and body being filled with light. And as I was running, I'm doing this, I'm filling myself with light. And then I would project that light out ahead of me, and I would create literally a tunnel. And because I was doing that every single day, I got to the point where I could hold that tunnel of light through my entire run. You know, I don't know if you know that loops like this, and it comes down the Indian Head Highway, you're right, and it goes back and comes around again. So I would have that whole light going. But one morning I was running, and I could hear, I was running past a farm field, and I could hear, it sounded like a dozen ferocious dogs running and growling and barking and, you know, acting crazy. And they were coming right at me. So my thought was, should I stop and run back the other way? But then I sort of lost myself. I put myself back to the tunnel of light, and I lost myself. And all of a sudden, when I became sort of conscious again, I was in a totally different place on the road, and I don't know where those dogs went. So what happened was, by bringing myself back to the light, I put myself in a different time and space than the danger. You get what I'm saying? Okay? And it has to be like that. You have to practice it just like that. So when you think you are in danger, you have to move back into the light, okay? And in a sense, this idea of, you know, moving back into the light is sort of an example of grace. So the dictionary defines grace as the divine love and protection bestowed freely upon us by God. Grace is a state of being protected or sanctified by the favor of God. Now, meaning when you walk in the tunnel of light, you cannot help but be protected by God. But when you choose to step out of the tunnel of light to operate on your own volition, you simultaneously accept the responsibility and the consequences of that choice. All right? So that's why, and again, you have to really work at holding that idea that you are in the light. All right? And so when you earnestly practice filling your mind, your heart, your body with God light, and allowing that light to spill out from you into those around you and ahead of you, you set up the prerequisite for synchronicity to occur. The dictionary defines synchronicity as the coincidence of events that seem to be meaningfully related. All right. Now, Carl Jung did an extensive study on this phenomena, again, working with Albert Einstein, you know, and it's presented in the book Synchronicity and A Causal Connecting Principle. Now, the A in the word A Causal means without. So the word A Causal means without cause. Therefore, synchronicity is a principle that links events A Causally, meaning things happen in our lives by which we cannot explain or identify the cause. Synchronicity is probably what caused us to say, it just came out of the blue. All right. I did a go-to-meeting with my brother in Phoenix with my class here at Prince George Community College. It was really great. He's up on the big screen in front, you know, and I got 28 kids in the class, and Nicole Tibbs, Sheila Milton's oldest daughter, brought her class over. It's in restaurant something or other, and Bruce is talking. So the biggest thing the kids wanted to know was, how did this happen for you? You know, how did you fall into this multi-million-dollar situation? You know, and Bruce had to, he said to him, he says, you know, it's what I call luck, defined by when opportunity meets readiness. And he began to describe the things he was doing that really had nothing to do with that, that built up such a reputation for him that when this opportunity came, he was the one that this multi-billion dollar global company stationed in England identified him as the person that they wanted to give this to. But he was explaining to me, it's nothing that I did directly for that, but it's many things that I did that got me recognized for that. You get what I'm saying? And that's what they wanted to know. More than anything else, how do you position yourself to get into a situation like that, you know? And again, it was synchronicity, you know, but it was a synchronicity of all the things he had done for a period of time. And it's important to understand that good things happen in our lives in a wonderful, unexplainable way when we diligently practice filling our mind, heart, and body with God light, all right? And it doesn't have to be for anything specific. It's just that's what you're practicing all the time. And life is constantly giving you situations where you need to do that. All the time, exactly, all right? So this is another way of saying good things happen when you choose to live by faith, all right? And it's, you know, I can't even remember now because I'm reading several books right now, but in a couple of those different books, they're emphasizing the fact that the hard times we go through, the troubling, the challenges we go through, it's necessary. It's necessary, you know, to get you ready, you know? And so, again, when you find yourself in this, you say to yourself, hey, this is second force. And second force leads to third force. And I've got to be okay. I can't curse second force. Because if I curse second force, I won't make it to third force. All right? So a positive example of synchronicity is usually experienced as the right people coming into your life at the right time, making the right opportunities available in the right and perfect way. All right? And what, you know, why does this happen? Because when your thoughts, feelings, and emotions are in alignment with spirit, your heart, mind, and body are in alignment with the universe. Okay? So when divine mind has a clear picture, when divine mind, listen carefully, has a clear picture of what is it you want and need. Now, see, you hear what I said? When divine mind has a clear picture of what it is you want and need, this information becomes available to the right people and synchronicity is set in motion. All right? And if you still, you know, if you're still not sure why or how synchronicity works, let me share an idea with you. And I don't remember where I got this from. But in consciousness, there is only one of us here. Everybody hear me? In consciousness, there is only one of us here, or as Carl Jung would say in Latin, unus mundus, meaning one world. So in Jungian terms, synchronicity requires us to consider the world as a unified field in which subject and object are fundamentally one, two manifestations of the same basic reality. Or as Jesus taught, one plus one equals one, which he expressed in John 30:10 when he says, I and my Father are one. So there's not two of us here. There's not a bunch of us here. There's only one of us here dreaming that we are separate. Okay? So I'm going to leave you with this thought. Each one of us is an expression of God here with an express purpose, and that purpose is to be the light of God in the world. So be it. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.